Hello there, dear listener. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you with another edition of the Word of the King, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. In the Word of the King declares, who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? Man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandments, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight, stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and he may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. It shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. For there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 4. But the word of the king is, there is power, he may say unto him, what doest thou? Here, on this edition of the word of the king, we are going to continue with relationships and marriage. Who can you trust? And to start off, and again, if you would like to open your Bible, while the Proverbs chapter 3, you may do so. Proverbs chapter 3. I would just remind you again, if you have any questions or comments concerning what you hear on this or any other edition of the Word of the King, you just can forward those via email if you would like to the Word of the King. A is in Adam, V is in Victor, 1611 at hotmail.com. That's the Word of the King, AV1611 at hotmail.com. And now, real quickly, before I get into any of the details concerning the other blogs and the other ministries that I normally refer you to at the beginning of our program, I would ask Brother Kenny to just give a brief rundown now of how you may contribute to the work at the Word of the King, Sowers of Seed, Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and also through Six Eyes Radio. Kenny, if you would please inform our listeners of that.
Okay, we'll do that. Hey, Ruth, you need to mute yourself. Okay. So how you go about doing that is very simple. First off, if you wish to give a donation to Brother Timothy at Sow the Seed to Ministries using your credit card or your PayPal account, you do that by going to holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, B-I-B-L-E-S, for F-O-R, theblind.org. That's holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S-B-I-B-L-E-S-F-O-R-T-H-E-B-L-I-N-D.org. Click Sow the Seed Ministries. Once you've done that, go down that page to where it says Love Offerings. You'll be, when you click that, you'll be on his secure PayPal page to where you can make a donation using your PayPal and or credit card to make a secure donation directly to Timothy Gruver. Now, using the practically the same procedure, if you wish to make a donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. Once you type that into your browser, you'll be on our homepage. Go straight down the bottom to where it says Love Offerings. You'll be on the secure PayPal page for Holiness Bibles for the Blind, where you can use your credit card or PayPal account for Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You can also send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005, and Ashtabula spelled A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. Again, make any check or money order payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Send to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. Now, if you wish to make a donation to Sow the Seed Ministries, you have a couple options. First off, you could go to PayPal, enter the email address 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. You can also do that by right there on Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Right there, you'll see the information for the 6i's Radio Network, and there's a link right there that you can use your PayPal or credit card right there for 6i's Radio Network. Just click the Love Offerings link right there for 6i's. And then also, you could use your Cash App, and it gives the information there, which all you do is you enter the information, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter that, and no matter the amount of your love gift, is greatly appreciated. And then, of course, if you wish to send a check or money order, you just contact Brother Six at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com, and in your subject line, you put donation information requested, and in the body of your email, just indicate you're wishing to send a check or money order to the 6i's Radio Network and need the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order for the 6i's Radio Network. All right. Tim.
Yes, Kenny.
Go ahead.
Okay. Now, dear listener, I would just remind you, if you would like to send a check or money order to me via the post mail, you can write that out also to my Father After the Flesh, J-O-E-L, like the prophet, Joel, G-R-U, V as in Victor, E-R, and then he will cash that. We'll see if it gets put into my account, but you can forward that via the post mail to 2976, that's 2976, Honey, H-O-N-E-Y, Valley, V-A-L-L-E-Y, Road, Dallastown, D-A-L-L-A-S-T-O-W-N, Pennsylvania, 17313. And also, I would encourage you, of course, Kenny already told you about our website, Holiness Bibles for the Blind, the Sowers of Seed. And also, I would remind you of Brother John McTernan's blog at www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. That's www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. I would also remind you of Scott Johnson, Brother Scott Johnson, at www.contendingfortruth.com. That's www.contendingfortruth.com. I was just listening to some of what he posted up recently on his blog. If any of you have ever wondered about cremation, you know, and what the Word of God really says or doesn't say about it, I know he posted some study he did on that here recently, among other things, surrounding current events. And also, there's Dave Hodges. Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show. Hodges, put that in your search engine. Hodges, H-O-D-G-E-S, The Common Sense, SENSEshow.com. Hit search and pull up his blog at TheCommonSenseShow.com. And there's also Thug Thornton, American Vindicta Show, Thug Thornton, Thornton, dash American Vindicta, V-I-N-D-I, C as in cat, T as in Tom, A, American Vindicta, Thug Thornton. Just put that in your search. I'm going to pull up his blog, American Vindicta Show, and also the audios that he has at gsradio.net. Again, Mr. Thornton himself being a former DHS member, service member of the DHS and a war vet. He had to finally come out because he couldn't do what he was doing as a member of DHS and keep a clean conscience. But he's learned his share of things along the way. Along with Brother John McTernan, who is also himself a former federal agent. And also there's the website of Mike Adams at www.naturalnews.com. That's www.naturalnews.com. And now I'm going to open us up in a word of prayer. And actually, I think I'm going to ask you to open us up in a word of prayer. And then if you want to play the first clip this week, please.
I'll happily do that, Tim. Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, now as we get into this program, Lord Jesus, that we, Lord Jesus, first off, give the wheel to you, Lord Jesus. We ask you that you would just take complete control of this program, Lord Jesus, and everything that's involved, Lord Jesus, Blog Talk Radio, Lord Jesus, and the connections, Lord Jesus, that everything would go well this week, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch each and every heart, each and every life, Lord Jesus, especially that soul who is nearest hell, Lord Jesus. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get contact with us, Lord Jesus, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord Jesus, we ask for each and everything that's said and done, Lord Jesus. Give us the words. Help us to have clarity of thought, clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech, Lord Jesus, so that everything is said and done according to your perfect will and your perfect way. Now we turn this wheel over to you, Lord Jesus, in the program. Let everything be done to honor and glorify you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
And now the story has come completely full circle, back to the beginning again, and been tied up in a nice, neat bow, but nobody is seeing it because of context. There is a story that has been lost to time that we're going to cover in this video. I'm sure a lot of you recognize this image. It's from G.I. Jane. What's the story? Well, who remembers back in the 80s and 90s when there was all of this discussion about the expanding role of women in the military? Women had been in the military for quite some time, even since before I was born, but they had very specific roles and very specific rules and made up a very small portion of the force. Well, guess what? Now we have a story out just in the last week that ties up the entire argument made back then very neatly, but when you made the argument back then, you were labeled a old school, misogynist, ignorant. We're going to cover this, and it's going to absolutely blow your mind. And as a bonus, I'm going to tell a personal story about men and women in the military. I'm sure a lot of you remember this scene from Starship Troopers. What if I told you there was a scenario where men and women in the military decided of their own volition, against SOP, to share facilities because it was more convenient, and it made life easier? I'm sure you're going to want to hear that story as well. Stick around. But real quick, I never want to forget to be diligent. I always want to be disciplined. Say thank you to every single one of you who has showed up over at the Florida Mikey Patreon channel. You are making an enormous difference in my life, more so than I can really express. And humbly, I thank you for only $1 per month. You can join our channel over there. The videos are very different. Ask anyone in the comment section. Some folks have said sometimes you take the gloves off a little bit too much, Mikey. You need to put them back on a little bit. Well, that's what we have Vimeo for. We can put the videos over on their server so that we don't have Google's censoring, prying eyes protecting us. Giant air quotes there. There's a $1 level. There's a $5 level. It's totally up to you, whatever you can afford, whatever you can afford for however long, whether it's 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, it doesn't matter. I appreciate all of it. God bless every one of you for doing it. Thank you so much. Now, let's get to this. Let's get right down to the meat of the argument. This is 18 July, 2023. Female military recruit, U.S. Army, forced to shower with two, quote-unquote, trans-identifying men, considered resigning, senator says. Quote, if she raised her hand, she feared she'd be targeted for retaliation. Now, let's ask ourselves a question real quick. What if the men weren't trans-identifying? What if it was just two good old boys? What if there was a situation where they were short on facilities and everybody just had to kind of just tough it out and deal with it and just go in and get scrubby-dubbied and get done and get out and get in uniform and get on with duty? What if they weren't trans-identifying and you were put in that position? You see what they did here? What they did here is they took a story that was wildly inappropriate about minors in schools, high school, junior high, elementary school, whatever, being forced to share facilities as minors or public places where you would have a mixture of whatever. And they shifted the battlefield to the United States military, which is an entirely different place. Number one, at least for now, you are there of your own volition. Number two, you're all adults. Everybody is there for the same reason. And believe me, in a training battalion where she was, this particular individual, you rarely have enough time to spend in a shower to be able to notice the assigned chromosomes, let's just put it that way, of the person next to you. Most times in the military in the morning, the place was so steamy and I was so bleary-eyed that there could have been women in there. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. I was there to get in, get out, and get on with duty. Would not have known. A military recruit was allegedly forced to shower with, and in the next bunk there was sleeping, two trans-identifying men in separate bunks in an open bay, considered resigning after the situation caused her significant distress, according to a Republican senator. Senator Mike Rounds, South Dakota, congressional hearing, alerted the situation by the attorney general, blah, 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 sleeping in open bays, showering with biological males who had not had the reassignment surgery. Really? Now, let's think about this title of this video from Megyn Kelly in the terms of women in the military. Her title, Why Allowing the Opposite Sex into Single-Sex Spaces is More Dangerous Than All Gender Spaces. See, here she's talking about allowing men who think they're women into women's only spaces. Well, there was an argument. There was an argument made, and they were called misogynists. You know, got men who made this, like, these women want to pretend they're men, and they want to invade male-only spaces, i.e. the combat side of the military. How dare you say they think they're men? They want to act like men. They want to do everything. I can do everything a man can do. Wasn't that everything they said? Wasn't what this whole movie was about? Shaved her head, got in shape, got all muscled up. I can do everything a man can do. I can do everything a man can do. Acting like men. I mean, other than literally doing the biological part of it, which is what supposedly bothered this particular soldier so badly, was that the biological part hadn't happened yet. And that's the big complaint. What about here? Every other aspect being true that this is a female, other, you know, no biological changes whatsoever, but in every other way, acting like a male. And that was seen as, oh, what was the terms we used yesterday? Brave, stunning, progressive, forward-thinking. You see this? This is a trial basic combat, basic training for the Marines. where they've got men and women in the same units, I'm sure that's not going to be a problem. Where they train together. And you're supposed to, at this age, with everything else that you're supposed to be overcoming at that age, overcome as a male. I probably shouldn't say it, but pheromones are pheromones. You go out there and you get two young individuals, one male, one female, getting sweaty, rolling around in the mud, things are going to happen. That's just the way it is. See, the Israeli IDF has female units, combat units, but they're separate from the male units. They're entirely different. It's not about women in combat. It's about women and men, in especially young ones, very young ones, in high-stress situations, loaded up on hormones and pheromones. Now, story from my own personal time in the military. This is a very limited amount of time that I was stationed here. This is the Presidio of Monterey, California. I've zoomed in here on Google Earth to show you the particular building. Now, why are we looking at a building, Mucky? What's this going to show us? Well, I have to explain the logistical challenge to show why males and females got together and said, look, we're just going to have to share facilities. For us to be able to get done what we have to get done in the amount of time they're giving us, we're going to have to, for a short time, in certain situations, we are going to have to share facilities. Now, what you're looking at, you see a building in the back here. There's a smaller building here, building in front. Building in front was Bravo Company. Building in back was Alpha Company. This smaller building over here was a chow hall. Okay, so you had two companies attached by a chow hall. I'm going to bring up the same two buildings here with some pictures. In the morning, 0500. Just like in the rest of the military, everybody had to get up and go PT formation. Let's go back. Let me zoom out here. Here's where your barracks were. See way in the back here? See this track up here? This green area? That's where you had to go. You had to walk up there. You had to leave the barracks, be up there, be in formation, ready to go PT 0500 in the morning. About 45 minutes for a PT. 0700, you had to be back up here. In dress uniform for accountability formation. So hour and 15 minutes, back down to here, get your particular barracks area all squared away, get in uniform, get showered, get shaved, the whole bit, eat, and then also get the common facilities cleaned, the bathrooms, the stall, the shower rooms. Now, where did the challenge come in? The challenge came in, let's see if I can bring my picture back up here, PT, this first floor, the bottom half of it on the right was all cadre offices. The bottom half on the left was all prior service. They had their own little bathroom, no big deal. The second floor, over here on the left where I'm showing with the cursor, this half of it was female, this half of it was male. This area in the center, this was the area where all of the facilities were. The top floor was all male. No challenges up there. This building was built back in the 60s, and there was only one set of facilities that they had to basically just double on the second floor because they had to separate facilities. But they were right next to each other. There was just one thin wall that separated the female facilities from the male facilities. Here was the problem. The problem was, since there were two sets of facilities, it took twice as long to clean as the top facility. Why? One set of facilities for the whole floor of guys. And down here, it was only half a floor. And these were all prior service. They didn't have to really worry about accountability formations and PT formations. They just weren't part of it. So there was this huge challenge to get everybody in and out. We're talking over 100. In and out, shower, chit, shaved, ready to go. And give everybody enough time to get ready. So the senior male soldier on the floor, the senior female soldier on the floor, had to get together and coordinate who did what, when, and where. And the only solution, the only best solution that we came up with is that the two sets of facilities were identical. We had to shut one of them down early and get it cleaned and get it ready for inspection. And whoever hadn't showered or whatever had to use the other one, and it didn't matter whether they were male or female. And it was just the case. Now, we did everything we could to get the females through as fast as we could, because we knew they had a much bigger challenge than we did. But to be able to go eat and clean everything and for them to get ready, and then once again, like I said, had to walk. Remember, in dress uniform, and for that time, that was those pump things that girls had. They weren't pumps, but they weren't high heels. They were whatever the in-between was, the dress shoes. They had to walk this path up here, back up to this track. Some of them, it would take a little longer, would walk the sidewalk down here to the road, then come around this way. But it was a lot longer, so less time. So believe me, it was for an hour and 15 minutes. Sounds like a long time for that many people to get put through all the facilities and eat and get in dress. It was a major logistical challenge. Now, it was wildly against SOP to do that. So we had to be very careful with what we were doing, make sure there were no NCOs on the floor that could see what was happening. But there were people, shared facilities back then, it was just a logistical hiccup at that time. There was no other way to overcome. And we, to my mind, there, at least to my memory, there was never any issue with anybody harassing anybody else, ever. Because too many people, you were in too big of a hurry. You didn't care. You just had too much stuff on your mind. You had your studies on your mind. You had everything else in the military you got to do. And believe it or not, this is where I was stationed when the Loma Prieta earthquake hit. In fact, you see this little patch of cars right here? When I was here, this was not a parking lot. There was no parking lot here. There was a cement walkway here. Things have changed quite a bit. But I was standing about right here where this parking lot was when the Loma Prieta earthquake hit back in 89. And believe me, that's a whole nother video for a whole nother day. So this, I wanted to share this because this idea of men and women in the military and facilities and who uses what, honest to God, it's not nearly as big a deal as it's been made out to be with the media. Because even back then, it was the case. I remember one time, one guy got caught staring at one girl, and she just flipped him the bird, basically, and walked away, and it was actually more embarrassing for him than anything else. It was just funny. But everybody forgot about it because, you know, you also had varying ranks, too. I mean, there were some girls in here, though this was early in, so this was, you know, E3, E2, E1 era. You know, but there were some E4s floating around. You know, so you didn't want to be caught not having your military bearing where it should be. There was something called esprit de corps back then. And like I said, long time ago in the military. I'm sure so many things have changed back then. But wasn't this the issue that back then women wanted to do everything men could do, while keeping their physical womanness? They wanted to do everything men could do. And now what do we have? Well, we have men who want to keep everything that their manness, but they want to do everything women can do. Wear the dresses, wear the makeup, all that ridiculousness. It just seems to me that the military, you know, is a good place to talk about this because this is where we said, and I'll reiterate this, allowing the opposite sex into single-sex spaces is more dangerous than all gender spaces. Now, she's saying it in one context, but it works in both. It works in both, and she doesn't even see it. I even commented on this video. I didn't get any response to it, but, you know, it's Megyn Kelly. She's got 1.36 million subscribers. Who the hell am I? So, anyway, I just wanted to cover that. So thank you, everyone who joined us on Patreon. Very, very much appreciate it. Those of you who haven't, guys, I sure could use you. I really could. It would make a giant difference. $1 per month. And like I said, if you go over there, 200 and almost 80 videos that you that you would be ready to get for a dollar. You know, more content than you could probably watch in 3 months, to be truthful. And if it wasn't for you, no risk. So would love to have you over there. God bless. Have a wonderful week. Like, share, subscribe. We'll see you guys next time.
So, dear listener, you think women can actually do anything that a man can do? Then why did the Creator, the Lord of heaven and earth, and his word as the word, his word, the word of the King, as King of kings and Lord of lords, call her the weaker vessel? 1 Peter chapter 3, it is written here, verse 7 down through verse 12. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, if they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. We have the exhortation, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You jump down there in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy to verse 19, down through the end of the chapter. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and of some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. Flee also youthful lust, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy, continuing, verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And as we looked at last week, 5, God makes it very clear. Verse 14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Beside Satan. And if you did not already listen or hear last week's program, dear listener, there was also that clip that we heard by Dave Hodges where he talked about the loneliness epidemic in the United States of America and the link between women not bearing children and breastfeeding and breast cancer. You know, I was thinking about that, and I would almost liken that almost unto God's judgment on the homosexual and the sodomite. You read there in the context of Romans chapter 1 about him receiving that recompense of his error, which was meat. Now, of course, we know that's ultimately talking about in the context of eternity, but the second death, death on the lake of fire. But when you talk about him, howbeit the sodomite, the homosexual, the tranny, reaping what they sow, and that which is meat in this life. Think AIDS, autoimmune deficiency disorder. So again, God's will was for the younger women to marry, to bear children, guide the house, and give them occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully as the weaker vessel. And we will get into more by the grace of God here, if not next week, the following week, why God calls the woman the weaker vessel. But it's not God's will for these women to be out in the front lines, some military, fighting for military-industrial complex run by a bunch of greedy elites and their banker buddies. Kenny, if you want to make a comment, go right ahead, and then we'll continue with the next clip.
Well, that's for sure, Tim. It's just it all ties together. I mean, with us being in the last days, it has to do with, I mean, money has a lot to do with it, but it also has to do with sin, because women have to have their way or no way, and it comes down to the sin and pride issue. Well, God said, well, you want your way? Okay, I'll let you have your way. But that way is to death. And men, it's the same thing with you.
Yes.
You want your way? Okay. Well,
yes,
it's to
yes,
death.
Yes.
You want your way? It's to death.
Yes. And Kenny, can I clarify something, please?
Clint, go ahead.
Can I clarify something?
Go ahead.
Okay. Again, I want to clarify this because I got AIDS, autoimmune deficiency syndrome, okay? I wanted to clarify that. The devil twisted me up because he knows I was speaking truth. Autoimmune deficiency syndrome, AIDS. It's the recompense of their error, which was meat in this life and the second death, hell in the lake of fire in the next life. But again, Kenny, go on.
Yeah. See, and that's basically what I was lining up with what you were saying. Leads to death, physical death, spiritual death. So, and basically I was coming right to the end of my comment right there. So, all right, Tim, that's it.
Next clip.
There is yet another story that is floating around the world that is being hidden from North Americans, because if it came out, there would be a lot of people with egg on their face. There would be a lot of people who would be looking back at history and going, oh my God, we were on the wrong side. Now, of course, topics that are this controversial, we can't really get into in detail here on YouTube because of the censorship. They would take my channel down if I told the truth like I did over at the Florida Maquis Patreon channel. How many of you know who these two women are? I'm sure a lot of you will probably be able to recognize the woman on the right immediately, but perhaps maybe not the woman on the left. We talk about this over there, and the story that is being kept from you and how it would affect your daily life immediately if it were known. Nobody studies history anymore. Nobody studies what happened in the past, even 100, 150, or even, ready for this, 40 years ago. People forget things. It's not on the internet. It's not been on the internet in the last 2 weeks. Nobody cares. Well, over the Patreon channel, we hop in the Wayback Machine for $1 per month. You can find out what's really going on and who's fighting back and who tried to fight back a long time ago. It's $1 per month at the Patreon channel. That's the lowest available, allowable level that I can charge. I can't charge any less, or I would. It's even less than that, however. If you sign up for an entire year, you get a 10% discount. 3/4, a dime, and a nickel. That's it. A month. That's all it is. We can partner with Vimeo, keep things away from Google's censoring eyes, and we can reveal the truth. The truth that the rest of the world can see. Google doesn't have nearly as much influence overseas as they do here. Now, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this guy, Mel Gibson. Recently, there's been a movie come out where there's a lot of controversy surrounding it, Sound of Freedom, this idea of trafficking, giant air quotes, another word I can't use in conjunction with trafficking here on YouTube. But it's an interesting thing to observe that probably the most popular, or maybe second most popular character associated with this actor wouldn't have any idea what you were talking about or what you were so upset about. This whole idea of fill in the blank, trafficking. You'd say, Florida Maquis, are you kidding? That character had many kids. He would, of course. People don't remember what was going on. They don't remember what was going on during the founding of this country. course, this is all based on some type of a true story. God's children are not for sale. Really? God's children were for sale in this country for hundreds of years. It was called indentured servitude. And newsflash, most of them were Irish. That's right. See, not all Irish people have red hair. And these two individuals were associated with a particular group that got sick of it and decided to push back. Men mostly worked outside fields and farms. Women mostly indoors. It's about what you would expect. But so were kids. Now, who remembers this scene? Pardon me. Who remembers this scene from the movie The Patriot, where one of Benjamin Martin's sons is caught running information for the revolutionaries, I should say, and he gets captured, and then this guy takes his two incredibly young sons and puts weapons in their hands and has them run cover fire for him. Pardon me one minute. Don't know what happened there. But yeah, he has two kids that are clearly school-age kids pick up weapons and run cover fire for him. Now, even by modern standards, this would be seen as absolutely horribly inappropriate. You see, back then, they had a different definition of what a child was than we have. In fact, even around the world today, the wildly different definitions of what, quote-unquote, a child is. Here's a picture right out of a newspaper from that era. Certain kinds of slaves were incredibly expensive, 50 sterling. However, Irish slaves were cheap, no more than 5 sterling, and most often were kidnapped and forcibly removed, worked to death, whipped, branded, without it being a crime. And sometimes they died, and that did cost some money, but it was much cheaper to get rid of one of these types of slaves than other types of slaves. Now, I know this seems like a big jump, but this is what this has to do with. See, there's a reason there is a certain adjacency that is inconvenient for a certain group. A lot of people say, Sons of Freedom is QAnon adjacent. Oh, really? So LGB is adjacent to TQIAA++. So a lot of people say, Florida Monkey, you shouldn't beat up the LGB community. There's not all of them. There's some of them that are our allies. None of them are our allies. None of them. Just like Donald Trump is Disney adjacent and Hillary adjacent, calling the Clintons good people and asking people to stand up for standing ovations for them. The LGB is adjacent to the TQIAA. They are exactly the same group of people, just in a different era, because they don't understand this chart. Many people, it took me forever to find this. You see, a lot of folks are very familiar with the guy in GameStop who loses his stuff over being misgendered, and then, of course, the threat to the safety of this particular individual because he misgendered this guy. But they don't remember, back in the late 70s and early 80s, the indignance over that. Why? Because there weren't cameras in everybody's hands back then. There wasn't the internet back then, so it took forever to find this. You see, there was a high-risk group. It was a high-risk group that was spreading an incredibly deadly, almost completely deadly disease. And nobody wanted to talk about it. And this is about as far as I can really go on this, to be truthful. But if you understand this chart, you understand the concept of eromania. And even though the Bible only talks about agape, eros, philia, and storge, when you add in psychology, you get four more. And this is the problem. There's a certain group of people that are identifying, pay attention, identifying by an absence of or presence of a certain thing, and that's all they look at in their lives. They're obsessed with it, mania, with a certain type of love, eros. So they're eromaniacs. But mark my words, the founders of this country, had absolutely no problem buying and selling God's children. And I just find it hilarious that the guy that was responsible for the movie played a character that was supposed to be some hero of the revolution. This hero of the revolution at that time would have had absolutely no problem having Irish slaves. In fact, indentured servitude was more common than it was not. People sold themselves into indentured servitude and their kids for hundreds of years in order to pay for the passage from Europe to the New World. And yes, they were abused horribly. You know how long that they were kept in that level of servitude was entirely up to the person that paid for it. So if you think the rich are in charge now, I mean, compared to then, you know, they saw this as a huge blessing for the New World because it brought people and it populated colonies and, you know, they allowed, you know, servants some level of leeway. But it was incredibly common to sell your, and I say this in historical terms, what they call children and what we call children are two different things. We call a 15-year-old a child, and that they would laugh at us. They would say, that's not, 15-year-old's not a child, that's a young person, young adult, but that's not a child. They had an entirely different definition of it, so that's why I find the movie so, to my mind, a little bit disingenuous. But if you want the full story, if you want the complete layout of all this, join us over at Patreon. God bless all of you who have. It's only one U.S. dollar. Makes a huge, huge difference. By the way, brand new Patriot Nurse video out today. And there's something in the video that maybe it's just me. I don't want to out it publicly here, but tell me if you notice something a little bit different about that video. I'm sure a lot of you can find it, Patriot Nurse, not too hard to find. Brand new video. And message me over at the Patreon channel. Over there, one of the neat benefits, unlike YouTube, is that you have a direct line to me. There's an inbox, a private mail function over there, where you can send me your own private message. And I answer those almost exclusively. So would love to see you over there, but tell me what you think. Anyway, have a great weekend. God bless. Like, share, subscribe, and we'll see you guys next time.
Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, in the word of the king declares, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse 3 declares, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Then you jump down a little further, verse 8 through 11. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. And again, Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15 declares that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 11 of Proverbs 15, hell and destruction before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men. Before I go any further, Kenny, if you would like to briefly try to keep it short and sweet, do you have any comments on this past clip we just heard?
Well, on that one, not much comments, but it's just it was very interesting, so I'll say that much, except for he had the point right that, yes, children today are differently classified than they were back way, let's say, even in the 1800s. In the 1800s, if you were like 15, if you were 15 or even 13, yes, you were classified a young adult. Now today, 12 years old, 11 years old, no, you're still a child. So definitely a difference. And that's my comments.
And on top of that, you got to use wisdom, too, because with these trainings, these perverts going around, yeah, they'll definitely try to take advantage of that if they can in a very satanic way, evil way. But continuing on here,
going to go ahead here and read, before we have our next clip here, Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, as we're going to look at it here again shortly. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. But here in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 16 down through the end of the chapter, ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. The word of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. You know, a lot of times people will talk, people will mention about how when Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, came the first time, Israel, the Jewish people were guilty of looking for the Davidic king and not for the suffering servant. They were wanting Mashiach ben David, Messiah ben, son of David, howbeit, and not Messiah, the son of Joseph, the suffering servant. Because, of course, Christ, when he came the first time, if there was going to be salvation for you and I, dear listener, he had to shed his blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness for sin. This is why the Jews, why Israel, why our people were like that, is because they were equating political freedom, political prosperity, political freedom, political liberty with spiritual liberty, spiritual. But really, they're not the only ones. Our people, the Jewish people, are not the only ones who are really guilty of that. If you think about it, if you're listening, that's human nature. Human nature is to equate political liberty, political freedom with spiritual freedom, spiritual liberty. We know the scripture says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's safe to say that's another reason why there has not been more resistance and more of a holy civil rebellion in the United States of America against what has been going on already. Because, again, it hasn't gotten in people's faces enough yet. It hasn't made them feel threatened enough yet. It hasn't made them feel enough like they're living in, howbeit, communist China, where there is no liberty and there is no freedom. And, again, because they equate political prosperity, political freedom, political liberty with spiritual liberty, with spiritual freedom. Now, as long as they feel like they're political free and they got, you know, liberty, whatever, they don't do anything. Very apathetic, very laid back. But surely as God is in heaven, man is going to reap what he sows. But again, you go on, verse 20, here in Romans 1, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither but thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and received their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to obtain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind and do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, and again, death, doing evil against triune holiness, Elohim, Abba Ben, Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, Kenny, play the next clip, please.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Make sure when you come here on your mobile device that you click the Show More button so you see everything you want to see. Additionally, this is really important, we would ask that you would subscribe to increase our political power and reach, become part of that. Also, too, show these videos. This is most important. Show these videos to people that desperately need to see them. They think everything is fine, nothing to worry about here. They don't know how close to the end of America we really are. So please do those two things. We are brought to you by the best storable food company in the world. They're taking control of food right now across the planet. Ladies and gentlemen, when CBDC gets here, they'll dictate what you eat, how you eat, when you eat. Don't be part of that. Have your own food supply. You can get it now. Best company out there, best prices, best service, best delivery. Go to preparewithdave.com for restaurant quality food, 2,000 calories per day. And this is really good. great specials, 25-year shelf life, preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. Well, can you name the three entities that are ushering in CBDC? They have a lot of supporting cast, but I thought you might be curious as to who the three entities are. If you don't know, we have them right here. First, it's a mixture of public-private partnership. Let's start with the private. The idea of CBDC was really pushed and put out there by the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab. They get the credit. They were the first ones. And they bring in their partners from the UN to say, at the end of the day, if you want to do anything monetarily after CBDC's in, you will be compliant with SDG. And you say, what's SDG? The UN's 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. You will be carbon neutral or you'll be non-existent in their system. That's what's coming. That's WF. Now, the other entity, you have to finance it. You have to have a way to organize all the financial entities to tie into a single beast system. And what that is, it's you want to bring in the IMF. You want to bring in the Bank of International Settlements because we'll be managing all the central banks. You have to bring in the central banks. And who would be doing that? That would be the World Bank. And so the World Bank, the World Economic Forum, are working off UN goals, and they're coordinating the entire financial industry to first bring you the Fed coin, which is really very good. That's kind of like the Trojan horse to get your attention, get you to accept it, let your guard down, and then they'll bring in the really bad stuff. It looks to me like it's five or six phases. I won't get into mechanics here. I'm just identifying who. Now, there's another third party that's involved, and he works on both the World Bank side and with the World Economic Forum, and that would be the Gates Family Foundation, Bill Gates. And what's their role? Digital ID. If they're going to have digital money that's going to track everything you do and it's going to be cashless, you must have a digital ID. Must have a digital ID. So Bill Gates is the third figure. Now, you know, honestly, I'm surprised by this. I know Bill Gates is a big player. I didn't know he was one of the players. He's not the man behind the curtain like we all thought. He is the curtain. Bill Gates, the World Bank, that will control the public interest, the governments, the banking industry, and so forth. And then, of course, the World Economic Forum. Those are the three entities that are ushering in CBDC. Just thought you had a right to know. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up. Like us. Make sure you're a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting.
Any questions or comments, Kenny? Keep it short and sweet. Good, please.
Yeah. I'm just curious about that place that he was talking about that does the food, you know, if they've ever accepted food stamps, because I might be interested in trying to check that out.
That's something that either I or you can consult with him about, certainly.
Yeah, because that'd be something interesting. So, you know, because that'd be interesting to find out, you know, so, you know, gets not only supply a person for the month, but also, you know, start getting a stash put aside for the future. So, yeah. All right. So was my comment. It was pretty good what he had there. And, yeah. Those three players that he mentioned.
Yeah, before we do our next clip, I'll just read here, Titus. Okay, before we do our next clip, I would just read here. 2 verses 11 through 15, down through chapter 3 of Titus. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Are you looking for the glorious God and Savior, Jesus Christ? Have you acknowledged that he gave himself a ransom for you, even as it was given unto you from heaven, to call upon him? Have you been redeemed from all iniquity, dear listener? You say you have. Are you zealous of good works? Well, you continue on down to chapter 3, Titus, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Verse 3 says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, verse 4, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7, that being justified to stand before God, justified, never sinned. That being justified by his grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, God's righteousness at Christ's expense, it cost Jesus everything for you to have the righteousness of God imputed to you, dear listener, just like it cost him everything for me to have the righteousness of God imputed to me, according to the hope of eternal life. Okay, Kenny, next clip.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And when we hear statements being made, sometimes we think it's just lunacy, stupidity, dementia. But then sometimes you just can't walk away from a statement. You can't attribute it to anything that's unintentional. And this might be one of those cases. You know who I am. You know what we do here. We're glad to be with you. We're going to talk about a recent Kamala Harris quote. But we're going to lead up to it because we're going to talk about this administration has been filled with these kind of quotes. We're going to get to it right here on the Common Sense Show. Hey, we're brought to you by the product that can make you look younger, feel younger, and they do it really easily. You just tear off the corner, pour in the prescribed amount of this odorless, tasteless powder. You mix it up in your favorite drink. You drink it, and what's going to happen? You're going to replace lost collagen. The loss of collagen, 50% by the time you're in middle age, is responsible for you looking older, feeling older, just lacking energy. But if you could replace it, you'd regain all this. It's your own Ponce de Leon Fountain of Youth. Does it work? Well, they guarantee it. 60-day money-back guarantee. What's the science behind it? Well, you'll have to look at it. It's at healthwithdave.com. Very simple, layman's terms, straightforward, but they published the research at BioTrust that shows you how this works, unlike the federal government, and you can read all about it, and then you say, well, are there any other perks that would entice me to want to buy? Well, besides the fact you're going to look and feel younger, yes, 51% off, free shipping. Go to healthwithdave.com. That's healthwithdave.com. Well, Kamala Harris is no stranger to stupidity. At first I thought she was just a poor public speaker. You got to remember, this woman's been district attorney, attorney general of California. She's been a senator. So, yeah, stage fright should be in the past. She's just stupid. And I'm sorry to be so profoundly direct, but she is. But was she stupid when she said this? But let me remind you of some things. Biden comes out shortly after the beginning of Ukraine war and our intervention into it. And he said, regime change is the goal. It's the option. And then his own staff had to walk back the comment. Do you remember this? No, the president didn't quite mean that. This is really what he was trying to say, and they could not explain it away because he said it very directly. And now we go forward, and Kamala Harris made a liar out of everybody, and she said, yeah, regime change is the goal. Biden has now since come out, regime change is the goal. Lindsey Graham, rhino traitor senator from South Carolina, regime change is the goal. They all lied. Okay, that's that topic. Now we're going to go to a different topic, but I wanted to present the case that they often stumble bumble right into the truth, and then they try to walk it back. Wait till Monday or Tuesday, and the White House will walk this comment back. But Kamala Harris was talking about how you get drinking water that's clean and clean air to breathe. I think one of the ways is not to be in the vicinity of their BS. But anyway, let me see if I can't play this for you, ladies and gentlemen. And we will – yep, here she is. Oh, she's so lovely. Okay, so here we go. Hi, Kamala.
And electric vehicles and reduce population. More of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water. When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
You didn't catch that. I'll play it again.
And electric vehicles and reduce population. More of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
I think we've heard enough. Is the cat out of the bag? Is this just a stumble bumble stupid comment by an unintelligent person? Or is the cat out of the bag? And then the follow-up question should be at the press conference tomorrow to Jean-Pierre. They should be saying to her, what did Kamala Harris mean by depopulation? What do you think she means? There's a number of ways to answer this, so I'm putting it to you. What do you think Kamala Harris meant by that comment? Leave us your comment. Look forward to reading them. Thanks so much for joining us. Don't forget to join us over on the commonsenseshow.tv. 5-star ratings on the world's major platforms. What do? We bring in expert guests for the price of bandwidth, very cheap. And we advise you how to get through what's going on in these uncharted territories. Sign up today at thecommonsenseshow.tv. We'll see you over there.
And before I ask Kenny to give his take as to what he thinks Kamala meant by that term, depopulation, though I'm thinking Kenny's probably thinking the same thing I'm thinking, let me first of all read Ecclesiastes 8, verses 11 through 13. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. And you jump to chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, verses 2 and 3. All things come alike to all. There is one event. To the righteous and to the wicked, to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not, as is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth is he that feareth an oath. Hebrews 9:27, dear listener, sums it all up. It's appointed the man wants to die, but after this is the judgment. Verse 3 here, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. And there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Now, again, not that I don't think you're thinking the same thing I am, Kenny, but what do you think Kamala meant by that term, depopulation?
Well, I got a couple of words that might answer that question. Planned Parenthood, euthanasia, abortion, and planned epidemics. That's the way I answer that. That's the way
and
most of those globalists think.
And eventually, according to Revelation chapter 13, the more guillotines being used. So, any way you look at it, it's all about depopulation, more war, you name it. Proverbs 16, verse 4 declares, Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. All right. Kenny, next clip, please.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. Welcome. You know, we're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, but we need your help. We've got to greatly increase our reach if we're going to make a big difference. You can do that two ways. Number one, you can subscribe and grow the size. We're over 200,000 subscribers right now, but we really need to reach a million. And I'm not saying that for personal gratification. I want this site to become a force for political good. The core of the people that come here are loyal, dedicated Americans that have had enough of the BS. And they don't care whether it's from the GOP or from the Democrats. They're demanding change, and you could be joining a hardcore group of activists. Not radicals, activists who act within the law to preserve our nation for the next generation. And that's what we're fighting for right now. We have pooped in our own nest long enough that we've made our immediate future a living hell, and things are going to get a lot worse before they get better. But we still have a chance to turn it around. We can't let CBDC come in, but we are here right now for the preservation of the republic, for the betterment of the next generation. And we should all feel that obligation. And plus, too, whatever changes we can make now does better our situation in the immediate. But we're nowhere near where we need to be. And I think it's going to take a few election cycles. And I don't know that elections are the answer, but I speak in terms of election cycles. I think we're 10, 12 years away from really turning this back, because we've gone through decades of neglect. The border problem, for example, okay, is decades long. Decades long. Obama made a joke of it. Biden, he just totally opened the floodgates. We have no borders. The cartel, as we talked about in our last piece, is in total control. Anyway, we're going to talk about a congressman who I believe is making a difference. And, of course, they tried to smear him with made-up charges of underage sex. Interesting, in light of the recent movie that was out, Sound of Freedom, that the Democrats would have the nerve to even make that allegation. But anyway, we'll leave that right there. But we're going to be talking about Matt Gaetz and what he wants to do. And this is absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I kind of bought into the beginning to the negative publicity on Matt Gaetz. And I looked into it closer and I go, there's nothing here. This guy hasn't done anything wrong except stand up for the republic. Well, now he's doing what I've been saying Congress needs to do all along, or we need to get rid of Congress, GOP or not. You ready to hear it? Well, you're going to right here on the Common Sense Show. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. We are we're brought to you by Night Watch Pro. I like this because it's fun. This is night vision. I can record in 4K. I can take still photos of high quality at night. And so if you have an interest at night, right, anything in the dark, whether you're a nature lover, you're camping out, whatever it is, this is really cool. And right now is the right time to buy because they have a great sale, which if you click on the link, you'll see what that is. But I like this, too, for home security. You know, you ever looked out at night and you go, oh, I wonder if something is out there. And you really can't tell? Now you can tell. And if the person who has night vision versus the person who doesn't, the person that has it's usually going to win. This is a great part of home preparation as well. Nightwatchpro.com. The link is in the description box, and all the information is there. Nightwatchpro.com. All right, Matt Gaetz. I am so impressed with what he's doing. What have I been saying? And I know I'm on firm legal ground when I say this. I researched it before I opened my big mouth. I talked to a congressional staffer I know. I said, can you find out if this is legal or not, if you can truly do this? And the answer I got is, yes, you can do it. Now, for the first time in Congress, after 2.5 years of crisis management because of law-breaking officials running the White House, we now have the proper step being taken that I have said. Let's talk about special counsel who's following Trump around the country, trying to prosecute him for things like jaywalking. Now, I exaggerate, of course, but I mean, what he's doing. I heard the J6 speech. I heard it. Peacefully protest and go home. There was no direction for incitement to riot. None. I heard it with my own ears as it was happening, as I was tuned in on my television set. Gee, I wonder if I violated the law because my eyes were there on scene while this was going on. I mean, this is basically how the FBI has acted. But no, I was in Arizona at the time of J6 watching on Fox News, back when I watched Fox News, which I don't anymore. Now, this is great. Matt Gaetz is introducing legislation to do what I said should be due across the board. And I think it could open the floodgates if it'll pass. I have doubts whether it can pass, and I'll cover that in just a second. Matt Gaetz is introducing legislation to defund Special Counsel Jack Smith for election interference. And that's really what this is. This is exactly what this is. And I don't think they can get convictions on Trump, because if they convict Trump under the 14th Amendment about equal protection for all under the law, then Obama's going to jail for presidential records. Biden will clearly go to jail because he has no presidential protection, because most of the documents he was found hiding in his garage were the product of the time when he was a senator. So he has no presidential prerogative or protection here at all. Okay, so I don't think there's going to be any convictions, but it's let's throw enough excrement up on the wall and hope something sticks, and we hope we can influence the election in a negative way to pull votes away from Trump. I do have a corollary here, and I'll quickly throw this in. I think I said this on my interview with Mike Adams, but I know I've said it in other interviews I've been on. I believe a third party is going to emerge from this. I do not trust Robert F. Kennedy Jr. If you look at his past positions on issues that make a difference to conservatives, like abortion, gun control, across the board, he's been a flaming liberal. Now he's kind of stepping out there and being outrageous on other topics. And I say outrageous because you never hear a Democrat talk this way. Now, of course, Tulsi Gabbard, same MO. What have I said to you about Tulsi Gabbard for 2 years? What have I said? She's a Trojan horse. Don't believe this conservative BS you're hearing. The only mistake I think Tucker's made journalistically, the only mistake, I hold him up in high regard, was he kept having Tulsi Gabbard on and let her parade as a conservative. She is no conservative. I believe they're part of a Trojan horse plot. Those two, I think Joe Manchin will join them. Kyrsten Sinema, who disavowed the Democratic Party, I believe she will also do this, and I believe it's part of a Democratic plot. Now, here's why. The last time we had a serious third-party contender in a presidential election was in 1992 with Ross Perot. Ross Perot would have won had he not sabotaged his own campaign. I've always wondered about his sincerity. I think he was supposed to disrupt George Bush, H.W. Bush, and give the election to Clinton. That's what I believe. But I think Ross Perot did too good of a job. Ross Perot had 60% of the voters in a three-way race on his side till he temporarily quit the election for the worst excuse I've ever heard. Do you remember what that was, you guys who were around at that time? Oh, my daughter, her wedding is being threatened, da-da-da. You know what, frickin' idiot? You had the Secret Service and the FBI at your service. And at that time, they weren't as corrupt as they are today. Unbelievable. Worst excuse I ever heard. Now, Ross Perot dropped out of the race in June, only to come back in September, 2 months for the election, damage done. He didn't carry any states, but he pulled 20% of the popular vote. 20% on an election he quit. Can you imagine? Democrats, third party, we're running against old Democrats. We can't be part of them anymore, but you can't trust the GOP. There's too many sellouts. Vote for us. I think they could get 20, 25, 30%. And if they do, then their phony baloney election business could make a difference. That's what I think is coming. Anyway, okay, I digress, but I just want you to know this is something that every day that I read about Tulsi Gabbard and I hear Robert F. Kennedy speak and I know their background, I know they're lying through their teeth. Unless they've had a lobotomy and gone through serious psychological counseling, they are lying through their teeth. All right, now, shall we continue on with this? I think this gets really good. Matt Gaetz introducing legislation to defund Jack Smith as special prosecutor for election interference. Matt Gaetz, defund. What we've been saying on this show now for 2 years, eventually Congress, you got to stop with the investigations and get serious. Do they have enough issues they could start defunding the DOJ? Yes. Hey, you say, Dave, we got to have a DOJ. Oh, do we really? Do we really need to have goon squads to kick in the door of people that are protesting against what their kids are taught? Do we really need to have that? Do we need to have a goon squad that will arrest pastors for speaking their mind in public about their views on abortion while abortion clinics are being firebombed and they do nothing about it? That's just a fact. Those facts are not in dispute. Do we really need to have an FBI like that? Do we need to have a DOJ like that? Defund them now and then rebuild them with congressional oversight. Seriously, the leaders and their top tier of administrators need to all be gone. All of them. No more of the deep state holdover from president to president in these institutions. Mm-mm. And Matt Gaetz gets it. He gets it. He's doing what we've been saying to do for 2 years. People telling me, you can't do that, Dave. That's stupid. Well, okay. I'm not interested in having the last laugh. I'm interested in results. I want my country back. And Matt Gaetz gives us the hope that they can do it. Now, here's why this is not going to work. And God bless Matt Gaetz for going forward with something that he probably won't even get out of committee. So many of the GOP in the House are on the take from special interests that when these forces are brought to bear, they'll kill this move. They'll kill this move. Now, it's interesting Hunter Biden gets away with crime after crime after crime. Trump has committed no crime. Both Biden and Obama have done worse in many similar situations, far worse, and nothing happens to them either. Our justice system sucks. And you want to keep the DOJ? We don't need the DOJ. There'll be a backlog of cases. We're really? Well, where is it now in Chicago? They're eliminating bail. You need a system like that? You need a system where you can shoplift up to $900 and get a walk and no one can do anything to you? And if the shop owner moves to arrest you or detain you, they're charged with battery? You want a system like that? Defund these people from head to toe. The only thing that I wouldn't be in favor of defunding, two organizations. One, any police department. Number two, the military. Everything else should be open to defunding, every single element. And I mean every federal agency should piece by piece be defunded. Watch how flipping quick they change. Why? Because they want a paycheck. They want their retirement. This is the only hold we have left. Now, we will have the last laugh if the citizenry plays this intelligently. Number one, you and I have to do our part. You've got to get this video out to everybody. I mean, everybody you know. Because people may not agree with you today, but as things continue to slide downhill, all of a sudden they're going to say, you know what, there was that idea that, yeah, let's go back and look at that. You need to plant that seed. We have the final say. If Congress is so corrupt that they won't do what Matt Gaetz wants, which is to defund Jack Smith and then go from there and start defunding here and defunding there until the criminality of this administration is stopped, then you know what we do? Then we unelect all these people in 2024. And you have to put your representative and your two senators on the spot. Are you going to go along with this? And I mean even in the Senate, even though this legislation is not in the Senate, may never reach the Senate, you need to say to them, if you don't support this, I'm coming after you. You're going to be out of a job. We're going to unelect you in the primary. If we don't do the anti-incumbent movement, folks, we have no chance. Because here's the big monster in the room. Are you listening to me? This is the big monster. I heard an economist rule that was on Stansberry Research with, I forget, last name is Carboni, good reporter, really good reporter. And he was being interviewed. He's one of the top economists. And what Rule said is he said, CBDC is worse for America than cancer. And he went in to explain what he meant. He goes, individual diagnosis of cancer means crisis for you, and CBDC isn't important. But for the overall health of the nation, he said CBDC is worse. We have to have this anti-funding cancellation attitude towards this administration or we will get CBDC. And at the end of the day, as Rule said, and as I've been saying every day on this site, if CBDC is in place, you speak your mind, just like Trudeau, they'll take your money. They will basically render you homeless with no options to return to the system. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it's the defunding mechanism that can stop it. If the House says to the White House, we're going to do this, no, you're not. You're not getting any money for it. And then all of a sudden, here's what will happen. The international bankers will come into play, and the IMF and especially the World Bank will try to fund the operation over what Congress has defunded, and they'll bring in foreign money. That's when the impeachment trials begin, because then they're violating the Foreign Services Act, just like Hunter Biden does every day. Are you following where I'm going with this? If you care about keeping your country, about keeping your nest egg, your home, any semblance of the freedom you have left, if you want to keep any of that, you need to share this, because right now everyone needs to hold their elected representatives' feet to the fire and to say, you will defund Jack Smith, and then you're going to start working on DHS next. Why do we even have a Border Patrol? What is, you know why we have a Border Patrol? You know why we have DHS? So they can arrange to put these illegal immigrants on buses and planes and send them to the interior. Did you see the other day that they're discovering some of the children they're sending into the interior have tuberculosis? Oh, that made the news. Oh, it made the news on our side of the fence with government documents. Mainstream media didn't even touch it. We can do this, people. We can do this. But we've got to start now. The first step is to raise awareness. One of the things that, if I have a strength as a broadcaster in my academic background, it's really, I understand psychology and research and stat really, really well, because that's what I did at the postgraduate level. But what I really draw upon philosophically is my knowledge about how revolutions and social change happen. And I had a fascination with social psychology all the way through my teaching career. But with regard to my background as an undergraduate, I had 2 degrees in sociology and history. The combination of those two, I really understand how political change happens because I've studied it so long. And they follow very similar patterns. This is the only avenue, in my estimation, that we have left short of a violent revolution, which will fail. The only way the Civil War would ever succeed in this country would be if the military got involved. And I've had military people tell me about 3 out of 4 people would have to be up in arms before we would join them. I've been told that over and over, and I've been told that since Benghazi, because that's when I started asking the questions. And by the way, I don't want to live in a country and have to come back to it after a civil war has been here. The devastation would be just horrible. It'd be Bosnia on steroids, 1992. I don't want that. So what I'm telling you right now is bloodless. It doesn't violate any laws. Nobody has to die. All we have to do is keep the majority in the House and defund these bastards. That's the first step to turning it around. And then you hope that your public interest is like a groundswell, and then the numbers overwhelm the system and we drive these communists from office. But the first step right now is raising awareness. That's why you've got to share this video. And this, in many ways, and I said this to a good friend of mine last night, I said, tomorrow I'm going to go up on air and I'm going to say, this is probably the most important broadcast I've ever made. It is. The biggest enemy we have is CBDC. It's not whether or not Donald Trump is able to escape this legal persecution and run for office. That's not our biggest priority. Our biggest priority is stopping CBDC, because it's the end of America. Then we'll be living under a global dictatorship. But the first step is to stop Jack Smith with defunding, and then we look at that and go, oh, gee, that worked. Maybe we should throw another stone and another stone and another stone. This is the first mover. Please do your job. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up, like us. Make sure you're a member of what we do really well, the commonsenseshow.tv, in-depth documentary, censorship, commercial-free, five-star ratings. And how expensive is it? We only want people to help us pay for bandwidth. We don't want to go broke, but we're not looking to make money. So we're giving you the best information. We're giving to you information that news you can use to avoid making bad decisions. TheCommonSenseShow.tv. Sign up today.
It is written, Psalm 9:17, the wicked should be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. God declares in the book of Proverbs, when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Thessalonians chapter 1, it is written. Verse 7 down through the end of the chapter, verse 12. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the one true God, dear listener? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Repent ye and believe the gospel, the good news. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, end of the chapter here. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our flesh, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. We shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's written in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. He came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John chapter 3, verse 7, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Okay, Kenny, if you would like to play our midway song, I'm sure that you got one picked out, please.
How could I be a fanatic concerning such great salvation? How could I be too excited and talk about it too much? It's the greatest thing that could happen from God to fallen man. What's wrong with trying to please him? Walk just as close as I can. There are many who get all excited over a thing that won't last. They stand in the rain and they holler over a kick or a pass. But when I think of living forever, eternal from now on and such, and I have to whisper, well, glory. They say that I'm shouting too much. How could I be a fanatic concerning such great salvation? How could I be too excited and talk about him too much? It's the greatest thing that could happen from God to fallen man. What's wrong with trying to please him and walk just as close as I can? What's wrong with trying to please him and walk just as close as I can?
And now, dear listener, if you're not already there, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Start again here in verse 1 of Proverbs 3. I'm going to read down through verse 8. My son,
forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Dear listener, we're continuing with part two of relationships and marriage. Who can you trust? Here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Jump down now, if you would, to verse 19 of Proverbs 3. We're going to read down through verse 26. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. And I would just remind you here, dear listener, it is written, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Verse 20, by his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Grace, again, grace, unearned, unmerited favor. Ephesians 2:8 through 10, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And Revelation 21, verse 8, sums up what you and I are saved from who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I do want to thank you again for your prayers for me and for the people, Jew and Gentile alike. And if you would continue to also be in prayer for Orly, as I've mentioned her in the past, and continue to communicate with her along with Kenny and Ruth, continuing to communicate with her. Appreciate your prayers there. God would take away the veil from their eyes one by one, including Orly's. And also, continuing here, again, God says, by his knowledge, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Verse 23, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep being taken. Now, Kenny, would you please tell our listeners about how the Lord brought you and Ruth together, your bride, Ruth, together in marriage? And don't forget, of course, to mention that dream, that vision you had involving her, please.
Well, Tim, I can't tell the story without that, okay? Well, first off, I had known, okay, I technically didn't know about Ruth, not until later, okay, but technically I knew there was this lady, Adele Jacko, and she had a lady that lived with her named Judy Apgar, okay, and through them is how I got to know Ruth, okay, and this was maybe a year or so, I'd say about maybe 6 months to a year, after I had got divorced from my first wife. Now, during this time, I already had known Adele, okay? And I knew a little bit about Ruth, but not much, okay? Well, during this time, see what had happened in my first marriage, the kind, you could say, almost the stupidest marriage on earth. See, I did not seek God in this marriage, which technically our text that you read, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, apply very much so. Trust in the Lord. Now, right there, first starting right there, I'm going to put this right clear. I did not trust in the Lord. I didn't even put God into the equation of that first marriage. I didn't put God, trust in the Lord, with my whole heart. And I certainly was leaning on my own understanding. In all my ways, I was not acknowledging him. I was not acknowledging God. I was acknowledging myself. And I was allowing myself to direct my path. So what happened was, by allowing myself to do my thing, I had let the lust of my eyes go out before me, and I had seen this woman. She was blind, or legally blind, I should say, and she had been divorced before. Now, instead of inquiring and finding out, okay, well, why did she get divorced? Which would have thrown up a red flag right there. Why she got divorced was because she was messing around on her first husband, which would have told me, wait a minute, that's not the kind of thing you want to be messing with. No, I didn't inquire. I didn't check around with people who knew her. I didn't check. No, I just, oh, hey, nice looking. Hey, she ain't bad, blah, blah, blah. So what did I do? I went against all the advice that I was hearing. I didn't listen to nobody. They say love is blind. Well, as sure as the devil was. And I went and married this thing. Well, didn't last very long. And she wakes up one morning, and she, because she normally would say, get up in the morning, get me a glass of water, get me this, get me that, get me my glasses, blah, blah, blah. This morning it was nothing like that. We're talking about the ultimate rude awakening. She gets up and says, hey, do you mind we get a divorce? And I'm like, boing, wide awake, no coffee, no nothing. I mean, totally awake. Like, what? Well, less than an hour later, she's trying to deny what she said. Like as if I didn't hear it, which right there was proof of her character. Well, after arguing with her another month about the issue, and the reason she wanted to divorce me was, and I quote, I want to go date so-and-so who I didn't get a chance to date before we got married. Well, okay, well, finally, like I said, after a month, I got tired of arguing with her. I said, look, you pay for the attorney fees. You pay for all of it. I'm not going to be involved, but I will put my name on the dotted line. As God's word says, I'll put my name on the dotted line, and I'll hand you your divorce, but I am not paying for it. So she did. And we were divorced. Well, then I went through a time of kind of depression, you know, feeling bad, that I got basically suckered in. Well, at that time, I was running with a bicycle and a trailer, a little small business, hauling things for people like the elderly, et cetera, called Blind Trucking, which is, I still do, even till this day, in a small manner with my friend Emily Barnum. We still do that. Okay, but the thing is, I started to come out of this, and one of the people that I was hauling for was Adele Jacko, okay? I'd go get groceries, what have you, for her that she needed. Well, as I started to get to know her, she was one of the ones who tried to tell me about Carrie and her friend Judy, and, of course, they introduced me to Ruth. Well, then shortly there down the road, one I wouldn't say it was in the middle of the night, but I'd say it was kind of, I wasn't sure if it, I don't remember if it was nighttime, daytime. I know that it was, to me, it was like I had fell asleep, okay? But basically, I had gotten this vision, okay? Now, in this vision, see, at the time, I was legally blind. So everything in this vision was just like I would see things, legally blind. So everything wasn't clear like it would be for a person who was sighted 20/20. So I got this vision of being married in a dimly church. There was some candles involved, and I had no clue what the candles were about. And I saw this woman coming toward me in a white dress, and she had darkish hair. I couldn't tell if it was brown, black, or deep red or what. I just knew it was darker colored hair. Okay? Now, I couldn't tell if the person was wearing glasses or not, because remember, like I said, in the vision, it's a dimly lit church. And because of the vision being like I would see things, being legally blind. So I couldn't see the person's face clearly. But the person's shape looked very much like either one of two people, Ruth or Judy. Now, what was interesting is that Judy was kind of slender, while Ruth being heavier set. But see, in the dress, I couldn't tell if the person was heavy set or slender. But the facial feature of the person looked like it could have been one or the other. And I knew it was either one or the other. And God very clearly showed me that he spoke to me in this vision saying, this person will be your wife. And so after I came out of it, I said, okay, God, if this is your, if this is from you, I've always been the kind of person, there's times I'll pray like Gideon did. Now, if you remember the story of Gideon, Gideon was a soldier, and God had told him he was going to have a victory over the enemy of the Lord. And Gideon says, okay, I'm willing to accept that, but just to be sure that it's you, God, not some voice from the devil or something like that. Okay, I'm going to lay a fleece here, and you put dew on the fleece and not on the ground. And it happened. And then Gideon says, well, I really, really want to be sure tonight. It's going to be reversed. Put dew on the ground and not on the fleece. And same thing happened. That's what happened. Dew happened on the ground and not on the fleece. So as he prayed, God did it. Well, I believe in praying with, quote, a prayer fleece. Well, I said, okay, God, if you're going to have me marry to whom this person is. Now, you notice this time I'm letting God have his perfect will. I'm not doing a thing. I'm not taking the lead. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 again. Trust in the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord this time. I'm not making that saying, I'm learning from my mistake. I'm not leaning to my own understanding. I'm leaning on his understanding. In all my ways, I'm acknowledging him, and I'm letting him direct my path. So I sit there and I said, okay, God, whoever this woman is, I obviously can't tell. So here's what I'm going to do, Lord. If this is from you and you have a wife for me, and I'm assuming it's one of the two women, but if it's even somebody else, whoever this person is, I want you and nobody else. You have that person either telephone me or come up to me in person and tell me these exact words. God spoke to me and said, I am to marry you. Now, so I left it at that. So, and I knew in my heart that at least the only thing I was supposed to do was befriend, and that means be a friend, to Judy and Ruth. So that's all I did. I made no romantic overtures to either one, no kissing, no hugging, no none of that. When I went out with Ruth, if she was going out to sing at a church, I'd go out and just to support her. That's it. If Judy and Adele went to a church, I'd go with them. If Adele was going to go preach at a church and Judy was going to be with her, so be it, I'd go there. Or whatever the case may be, okay? So, and I'd go over when I had a break from when I was driving. I'd pull up with my bike and trailer over at Judy and Adele's and I'd sit there and talk. Or I might pull up in Ruth's driveway and do the same thing. Of course, as you notice, I said in the driveway. Out in public, anybody, any Tom, Dick, and Harry knew what was going on. They knew what I was doing. I wasn't in a private hotel room with either of these ladies behind closed doors. No, I was out in public. So then... Now, this happened for a couple of years. I'd say at least a year and a half. And then in May of 1997, God had spoke to Ruth and told her, says, you're supposed to marry Kenny. And so she called me on the telephone. Now, I lived two doors over by this time because I had moved with my uncle, and I was living in the basement of the house building they had. And she calls me on my phone, and she says, God told me to tell you that I'm supposed to marry you. Now, she had no idea of the fleece that I laid out before the Lord several years before. She didn't know anything about it. Judy didn't know nothing about it. This was between me and God. I'm the only one that knew anything about it. And I says, okay, Ruth, I want you to do me one thing. And she says, what's that? I said, I want you to repeat that. So she did. She repeated that God told her she was supposed to marry me. I said, Ruth, you don't know, but those are the magic words. She goes, what are you talking about? And then I explained to her about the fleece that I had laid out before the Lord several years before. And I had told her about the vision. I says, this is from God. I said, yes, you are the one then. You are the one that was in the vision. And so when we got this lady, Marguerite Torma, she was our wedding coordinator, and it turns out the church we got married in didn't have real good lighting, Union Missionary Baptist Church. They didn't have very good lighting. So inside the building, it was a dimly lit church. And when the wedding coordinator was going over the type of ceremony, she asked, would you like to have a candle ceremony sitting on a pew? Up to this time, I had told nobody about this part of the vision, not even to Ruth. She knew I had already had the vision because, like I said, I had now already told her about it, but I didn't tell her about that part of the vision. I looked over at Marguerite Tormer, our wedding coordinator, as she's talking to the pastor and us, and I go, what in the world is a candle ceremony? And then she explained that during the wedding ceremony, what you do, you have three candles, two small tapers on each side and a larger one in the center. And the two on the outside are lit, and you take those two lit candles, the bride and the groom take each of the tapers, the small tapers that are lit, and they bring their flames together over the center candle and light the center, and then blow out the side candles to represent the two becoming one. The minute she said that, my mind went right back to the vision and said, boom, candle ceremony, and the vision of the candles. And I automatically said, yes. That I was the one who told the wedding coordinator, I said, yes, we want it. Why? Because I knew that that's what the candles had been about. But before that, I had no clue what that was. But it was interesting that she was the one that brought it up. And like I said, the church was dimly lit. And I had not even been, prior to that, I had only been a member of that church maybe a year. But even then, it never registered in my mind about that being part of the vision. So that was what was so interesting. Every detail, right down to the church being dimly lit, the candle ceremony, the whole thing, and including Ruth, yes. And I did not, even though I could have looked in the back seat because Ruth was driving me to the wedding ceremony, I could have, but I chose not to look at her wedding dress. But even the wedding dress was a white dress. I mean, everything right down to the perfect detail. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It turned out perfectly as opposed to thee. And that's what God wants each of us to do. Because when you trust in him with all your heart, you lean not to your own understanding. I mean, yeah, we got brains. There are some of us that got college educations, high school education, whatever kind of education you got. Some of us got enough degrees to be a thermometer. But just because you lean on your own understanding, no, God wants you to lean on his understanding, because compared to our pea brains, no matter how many degrees you got, you're still a pea brain compared to God. He will be the one able to direct your paths and do a lot better job of it after. Now, here's the after part of that story. After following God and let him direct my paths. Now, remember, the first story, the first so-called marriage lasting less than a month or two, following God's directive, that happened in 1997. This is 2023. Coming up on, it's actually been now, okay, 26 years. 26. And still going strong. So you tell me which works better, following my own understanding or God's understanding. I'll leave the choice to you. But I think it's pretty obvious. Amen. All right, Tim.
Amen, amen. And obviously, Kenny, you've suffered some holy experience, I'm sure. Some nice holy. And on that note, surely as we know the answer to that question, dear listener, I will now encourage you, Kenny, to actually go ahead and play that next clip, that Ray Comfort clip, and then I'll tell you where we can go from there, please.
I just feel like breaking out in song. I don't know. This makes me want to sing. What's going on? Oh, can't you see? Can't you see what the globalists are doing to me? Oh, I shouldn't sing a song. If it's not pro-globalist, it'll get banned, especially by the CMTA and all the big tech. So I won't sing. But they're coming for us. They're coming for your food. That's big. They're coming for your food. We're going to talk about that right here on the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host. We're the show, Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. And we are brought to you by this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful product here. It's night vision, binoculars, takes photos, high quality, takes K video. Now, what would you use this for? Outdoor enthusiasts, see things in the wild you don't normally see, see it at night, make for great pictures, videos to keep as a keepsake. If you're a journalist, I think this is really invaluable, but it's also good for defense. If you're out there in the tent, you hear, oh, there it is. See it before it sees you. Same thing applies at home. I don't believe your preparation kit is complete until you have one of these. That's right. What do? Go to nightwatchpro.com. Great special there. Great special. Get it today. Have fun with this, but also, too, realize this is part of your home security network. Nightwatchpro.com. Well, wow. They're coming. They want your wood stove. They want your gas generator. Now, why would they want that? It's bad for the environment. Well, show me the proof. They haven't produced one iota of proof. I've looked. Sound like you'll eat bugs? Look at what they're doing. They're trying to end all self-sufficiency. In fact, they're not just coming for your food. They're coming for your guns. They're coming for your cars. They're coming for your freedom. Can you share this, please? The CBDC means that they're coming for any type of civil disobedience, any type of protest, any type of complaining. Oh, I say, Mr. Rogers, you complained three times yesterday. We're fighting you $10,000. I only have nine. Good. Maybe you'll shut up next time. This is what's coming, folks. Wood stoves, wood generators. They're going to outlaw the storing of food. They're going to outlaw home gardens. They're going to outlaw anything that makes you independent of the system. And you know what my answer to that is? We're not obeying. These are illegal policies. We're not obeying. That simple. Well, that's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up, like us. Make sure you're a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting. You say, is it good? Yeah. We get expert guests help you navigate these uncharted waters we're in. Many of them have done regime change in foreign countries, so they know what's going on. They can see the coup d'etat from the communist, Bolshevik communist perception, and we're going through that. And we offer it to you dirt cheap. We just charge a little bit for bandwidth. And also, too, we get five-star ratings on the world's major platforms. You say, that's a pretty good deal. That's a really good deal. It's a really popular show. Sign up today at thecommonsenseshow.tv. We'll see you over there.
Tell me real quickly, Kenny, is that Ray Comfort clip next?
I'm not sure, Tim. I just know the order that you gave them to me originally.
Real quickly.
Should be, though. But probably that is the next one, because after that is that one about the lady, and that's it.
Well, after that, is the one about the lady. Okay.
Yeah, about
right,
she.
Play the next clip.
Okay, we'll do that.
Well, the poop is ready to hit the fan. We'll explain. Starting in the UK, there's no way it won't come here if this is a real report. And official channels are reporting this. Doesn't mean it's real, but it means the perception is real. And we'll tell you all about it. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Always a privilege and a pleasure to come before you. We ask you to do two things when you come here. One, grow the size of our site so we can increase our political power. And make sure, most importantly, you share these videos with people that have their head buried in the sand. Need to help them. Help them wake up. Make them see the, well, there's consequences for inaction. Okay? To choose, not to choose, there's a choice. Let's help them with that realization. All right. We are brought to you by the best durable food company in the world. And given what is reported to be coming, you want to do your preps. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. We really want to hit hard the food. Food can control a population. Henry Kissinger said, control nations, you control oil. To control people, you have to control food. You need to be independent of these people so you're not in the Biden breadline, so you're not vulnerable, so you're not rampaging through the streets trying to find food. My Patriot Supply is where you want to go. Restaurant quality food, 25-year shelf life, 2,000 calories per day. It's absolutely fantastic. It tastes great, does taste great, and there's great specials right now. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. Well, I'm going to read directly from a report here, and let me fix this screen here real quick. Yeah, we need to reset our, calibrate our settings here. I apologize for that. But anyway, let me go to... Officials in the United Kingdom are telling citizens another lockdown is imminent. And this was first reported European News Agency. Okay? So they're telling you it's coming, and I think that we really need to take this seriously. The disease in question is known as the Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever. I'm having a hard time not laughing. Now, I'm not saying this is a real, but Crimea, Congo, are they in proximity together? This doesn't make any sense. But anyway, nonetheless, they say it kills between 10 to 40% of the infected people, and it has been classified as a major threat to public health by the very reliable the World Health Organization, The WHO points out that, didn't they write a song, The WHO? We won't get fooled again. They'll be fighting in the streets with our children. Oh, wrong WHO. Sorry. Are you picking up on the messages? Most human cases in the current outbreak have occurred when people are involved in the livestock industry. Well, we just better kill all the cattle so we don't die from that. What do we eat? Bugs. Enough said. I think you got the message about what's coming. Thank you to the UK for warning us. University of Cambridge has come out. The University of Cambridge Department of Veterinary Medicine has come out. James Wood says that CCHF, which is this called Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever, will likely defeat all lockdown measures. So we're free to roam because locking down won't work. Will the masks work? Is there a vaccine? A lot of unanswered questions there, aren't there? Tell me what you think in the comment section. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up. Like us. Make sure you're a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting.
And it is written, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And I would remind you, dear listener, there is no purgatory. It's either heaven or hell when you die. Come unto Jesus, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, going to suggest we do here. It is approximately almost quarter after. We're into our third hour now. It's about 15 minutes after. So you got about 45 minutes. Okay, you figure with the imitation song in the end that you got, plus that Ray Comfort clip for it that you have yet that we're going to play, it's just under about 20 minutes. So you got basically, we'll say 20 minutes, just over 20 minutes to now comment on how the Lord, in light of Proverbs 3, verse 20, the confidence to keep thy foot from being taken. Tell our listeners, again, just over 20 minutes. And then you can play those last two clips there, the Ray Comfort clip and the Invitation song, and conclude. Tell them how the Lord has been faithful to be your confidence and Ruth's confidence and has kept your foot from being taken as a married couple in the Lord. And by the way, dear listener, if meantime, I'd just like to also let you know, again, thanks for your prayers, and Lord willing, we'll be back next week. We're going from here in the land of Israel. In the meantime, I thank you for your prayers. And now, Kenny, if you would just go off on that, please, and tell our listeners again, he's been faithful to keep your foot and Ruth's foot from being taken.
Okay. Well, as we pointed out there, Tim, as I pointed out earlier, kind of led already into that earlier, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trusting in the Lord. See, when I didn't trust in the Lord, well, things certainly went downhill. I went the wrong way. However, trusting in the Lord definitely went the right way. Now, it's never been easy, okay? I don't want everybody to think it's been a cakewalk. Trusting in the Lord is never a cakewalk, okay? There's some out there. There's this group out there. They give this impression that once you get saved, it's all a cakewalk. You're healthy. You're wealthy. You get money coming out your ears. But that's not the truth of God's word. God does give you benefits. Yes, I'll give you that. Okay, I'll follow with that logic. First off, some of the verses they use, they take out of context. They take them totally out of context, such as the one in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we are healed. Well, that there verse is not talking about a physical healing of the body, although God can and will physically heal a person if he so chooses. But he's not required to heal a person physically every single time they ask. Because to that group, here's the question I love to ask. If God healed you every time you asked him, if he healed you every time you asked him, and he healed you of every disease and every illness, would you die? Well, the answer to that question is, and they know the answer, although they'd like to skate around the answer, but the truth to that answer is, no, they would not. And doing so, then that puts them in a position to be stuck with, they'd have to live forever, which goes against God's word in Genesis chapter 3, when God told Adam and Eve, you take of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And when they did take of that fruit, they did surely die. Well, back to my point here. Trusting in the Lord is not always a cakewalk. At first, yes, my wife and I, Ruth and I, we weren't doing too bad. I was on SSI, but my check was reduced some due to the fact that my wife was working. And she had a job because she was capable at that time of having a job. But then came the trusting of the Lord part. She lost that job due to the fact she got hurt on the job and she had started to have very bad arthritis in her knees to where she could no longer work physically. She became disabled. Now, it took from the time she lost that job in 2000 till 2008 before she could apply, by the time she was able to apply and get her SSI. That left me having to provide with one little SSI check, which was meant only for one person, to cover the bills for two. So you can imagine, want a trust issue? There's a trust issue. That's when it was easy. That's when it makes it tough to trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's when, oh, you'd love to lean on your own understanding. That's when you want to sit there and acknowledge your own ways. You want to figure it out for yourself. You want to sit there and lean on your own understanding, acknowledge your own ways. That way you can follow your own path and figure your own way out. But I had no choice. We had no choice. We had no choice but to trust in the Lord with all our heart, leaning on our own, not on our own understanding, but acknowledging Him and letting Him direct our paths. Here it is, 2023. And We're just now getting out of that hole that was made by being on that one income for that length of time, for that 8 years. We were put on that situation. So we were stuck, but we still had to trust in God. We had to make a choice, a concerted effort, a concerted choice. We had to have the mindset, who's it going to be, us or God? So we chose Christ. And so that's where we are today. It wasn't easy, but it was God. And by personal testimony, let me tell you, you can trust in the Lord with all your heart. You can lean on His understanding in all your ways. You can acknowledge Him, and you can follow His path. You can do it, but you got to make that choice and say, It is going to be God's way and no other way. Amen. All right, we're going to play this next clip and see what it's about and enjoy it. Amen.
Interesting, I had this discussion with John Moore on his show yesterday, and we talked about changes in ethnicities politics, and I'm trying to choose the right phrase here. I think that'll suffice, but we're going to get into that here. I talked at some length on John's show about changes politically in mainstream Hispanic culture in terms of what's going on in national and state elections. The subject moved around to what's happening in the black community. And I had something to say, and it's interesting that a big event just happened on the heels of what I told John. We're going to share that with you right here on the Common Sense Show. We are the show, Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. I'm the host. You know who I am. You know what we do here. We want to thank you for joining us. Make sure that you subscribe. We need to increase our political power. But most importantly, you need to share videos with topics you agree on, not just on our site, but on any site. And we need to educate the masses, wake them up so we can become a force to be reckoned with as we resist this Bolshevik communist takeover of our country. So we are brought to you by something I never thought I would be advertising for on our show, but it's reality. The Chinese say, we're not interested in nuking the United States. We just want to occupy. We want an intact country. They're also not going to use EMP for the same reasons. They want an intact country. So what could preserve an intact country? Well, things like neutron bombs and chemical weapons. And the consensus of thought among the military minds that I talk to, it's going to be chemical weapons. So on that note here, I want to show you what we have available for you here. This is the M54 military-grade hardware mask. Now, this protects your eyes, your nose, your respiratory system. It's easy on, easy off. And you're thinking, yeah, but Dave, everyone in my family would have to have one. Correct. That could be really expensive. That's also correct. However, in this case, they make it very affordable. 70% off. 70% off for this valuable service. I do not believe that your preparation is complete until everyone in your family is armed with an efficient gas mask like the M54. Go to getagasmask.com. That's getagasmask.com. All right, we have an interesting situation that's brewing here, and I just want to take a second here if I can prevail upon you here. And again, I'm looking at our topics here. A lot of these are crossover to mainstream media, but this is absolutely incredible that we're looking at a paradigm shift in American politics. I've talked about this at some length with regard to the Hispanic community. The fastest rising entrepreneurial class, small business mostly, is with Hispanic entrepreneurs taking various forms. Street vendors to small businesses to clothing to consulting, you name it, we're seeing shifts in it. People that actually work for a living and depend on government to provide a neutral environment in which to succeed, and that's really the definition of business freedom, they aren't going to put up with Democratic policies to tax, 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 take your money, give it to a protected privileged class that they want to promote so they can get votes in the next election. People are sick of this crap, and if you're an entrepreneur, you're really opposed to this. This is why there was an all-out war in the lockdowns on small business. Oh, you don't think that's true? Well, let's talk about what happened. The four box stores got to stay open during the lockdowns. What did they sell? Groceries, clothing, over-the-counter meds. Why couldn't the other stores stay open that sold the same things if they took the same precautions? If Walmart was safe wearing masks and gloves and so on, then why couldn't Joe's Corner Drugstore stay open? 58% of American small businesses failed during this time. Most did not come back. You can say, oh, that's just a coincidence. Okay, if you want to go through life being a coincidence theorist, God bless you. When you see so many coincidences, though, I have to ask you a question. How many coincidences does it take to make a conspiracy theory? Oh, that made someone stop and think, didn't it? Yeah, well, while you're coming to your conclusion, which might take you a few more weeks and some more exposures to our material, let me just say this to you very clearly. The Hispanic community, rising entrepreneurial class, congratulations. Backbone of America is small business. The taxes that are paid, the investment into the community, absolutely awesome. Are they going to be the only shift, racially speaking, with regard to political demographics? No. I want to introduce you to a lady named Misha Maynor. State Rep, District 56 in the state of Georgia. She was a Democrat until yesterday. She cares about kids. She cares in particular about black kids in the inner city that can't read. Her words, not mine. She put it into a Twitter, a tweet in which you can read. And she said when she talked about academic freedom, school choice, she said, we're not interested in indoctrination. We want our kids to be able to read, perform, and be able to get jobs when they graduate. Thank goodness for a representative that has common sense and whose heart's in the right place. And she stood by her words. Oh, the Democrats came after her. How dare you? We need everybody in the indoctrination camps called public schools. No school choice here. Now, there are schools that operate free independently, encourage creative thinking, and actually teach the three R's. They're decreasing in number, as you know. But Ms. Maynor said, I can't be a part of this. I have to promote what I think does the most people the most good. Where is this servant attitude among other leaders? She said, I didn't make a political decision here to become a Republican. And I'm going to step aside and say that's probably going to end her career because she's in a heavy blue district and the Democrats will throw everything at her, including the kitchen sink. And she said, I made a moral decision. Isn't that the kind of person you want to get behind? When she runs for re-election in 2024, I'm going to seek her out. I'm going to have her on the show and we're going to collect funds for her campaign. This is the kind of person, and it's not whether she changed from Democrat to Republican. That's not the issue. The issue is this, is that she put people above BS politics, and I admire that. I don't have to agree with her on every issue, but I can say to her that what I know, and then she sits there and votes on something, she's doing what she thinks is the right thing. And that is not the case today in our Congress, and it's damn sure not the way that it is in the Biden administration. And I just wanted to bring you and this woman's efforts to your attention. She had a really good comment. She goes, I'm a black woman who will vote her moral conscience. God bless you for saying that. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up. Like us. Make sure you become part of what we do at the CommonSenseShow.tv in a commercial-free, censorship-free environment. We're getting five-star ratings on the world's major platforms, and we bring it to you dirt cheap. We just ask for help with the bandwidth. And there we do in-depth documentaries as opposed to the news items we do here. And a lot of it's geared towards problem-solving because we're in uncharted waters because what was coming is no longer coming. It's already here, and a lot of people say, I don't know how to deal with this because we've never gone through this before. Well, that's what we're trying to help you with. TheCommonSenseShow.tv. Sign up today. We'll see you over there. Thanks for joining us.
And I kind of like what he was saying about this lady, too, because that's what we need. Someone to stand up for what they believe in. Amen. All right. We'll check out our next clip.
My body and my choices, specifically in my life, I wouldn't feel comfortable with four random men telling me what to do with that.
And do you feel like we're telling you what to do with your body?
No. I'm just saying, like, it was just weird watching two men talk about abortion when I'm standing right here as a woman.
I would have to say,
explaining the most important thing that we, and very traumatic thing that we as women have to go through, I don't feel comfortable.
Why you doing me like that, bro?
It's easy to be patient with people that agree with you. The true test of patience comes from interacting with people that you find challenging. All right, guys, we're asking people, what do you think happens after you die? Do you ever give that any thought?
All I know is that I don't know.
All you know is that you don't know. Wait, what? I mean, how do you don't know anything? Because if you do know that you don't know anything, well, then you know something. And this becomes self-refuting.
We become one with the universe, and we're recycled, and we become new life.
And where do you get that information from?
Looking at, you know, trees and how, you know, an acorn falls from a tree, and then it grows into a new tree. Like, yeah.
The cycle of life.
Does your worldview, does your position believe in God or a higher power of any sort?
I believe in a higher power.
So you believe in some sort of a higher power. Does this higher power...
I am that higher power.
You are. So would you be considered the God of your universe, then?
Yes. 100%.
Is she right?
God of yours.
I'm the God of my universe. All right. Two things are certain. There is a God, and you're not him. God is awesome. You're not. And neither am I. He alone has immortality, and he dwells in unapproachable light. In him, there is no darkness at all. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first, and he's the last. Besides him, there is no God. He is sovereign, which means he does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, to whomever he wants, and he answers to no one. The Bible says that God is in heaven, and he does what he pleases. 1 Kings 8 says, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Is there more right and wrong within your worldview?
My specific perspective, yes. But as a collective, I think it's variable.
So do people get to decide for themselves what is right and wrong?
In some cases, what might be right for you might be wrong for the collective and vice versa. So
like the golden rule, kind of.
What is that golden rule?
Oh, you have to treat others how you would like to be treated.
I wouldn't want to be slapped in the face. I don't need to go around slapping other people in the face. That's really kind of the idea.
Exactly.
I like that rule. Is this a rule that not everybody should just adhere to, but it's a rule that is objectively true? I mean, you and I, we agree that we should not be slapping people in the face. All right, so we can agree and go bowling, but somebody else comes along and says, well, I don't believe in that rule, and since I get to come up with my own rules, then I'm going to go around slapping people in the face. If he believes that, should we let him go and do that?
No, I mean, there's consequences to your actions.
How do we say that they are objectively wrong in their position if they get to decide for themselves, though, what is right and wrong or good and bad? Does that make sense?
If that happens, I would turn around and walk away and let the karma work on themselves. So, like, I'm not going to control somebody else's behavior in any way. I'm only going to control how I respond to it, and I'm not going to tell other people how they live their lives.
She will not intervene in any way. I mean, that's quite the statement. Don't expect her to intervene when she sees injustice anywhere. There's a child being maligned, being abused. Nope. Rape? Uh-uh. Murder? Nope. That's what it means in any way, right? You're not going to intervene in any way. This is not a very well thought out position, as you will see from my interaction with them, both of them, because she is going to begin to judge my behavior, my actions, and the things that I say very quickly. Do you guys believe that you're good people?
I'm a good person in my mind, so yeah.
She's probably with you because she thinks you're a good person, right? What if he didn't believe what you believe metaphysically, and he believed in, I don't know, reincarnation, and you didn't? Is it a breaking point, or is that?
No, it's all about respecting each other's opinions.
So I'm a Christian, right? I believe that there's enough hatred out there. I think that somebody, if they want to be a New Age, if they want to be Buddhist, if they want to be Mormon, man, knock yourself out. Go believe whatever you want to believe. Don't go harming people. I'm with you side by side on that. But this is where I begin to maybe differ, and I want to get your opinions on it. So I come from the position that the Bible is inspired, that it's without error. In fact, it's not possible for it to have an error. I would say that there are no mistakes, no contradictions in all of the Bible. I would come from the position that when we die, we stand before God, that there's one God. I believe when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, no man comes to the Father but through me, he wasn't just making things up, that there was and there is no other way to get to heaven than through Jesus Christ. A lot of people disagree with me. I do not believe that all roads lead to heaven. I was talking to some guy earlier, and he goes, I believe when I die, I turn into a penguin. I go, More power to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, great.
You want to believe you turn into a penguin, then you... Does he turn into a penguin, though, if he thinks that he turns into a penguin? I would come along and say, no, I don't think he turned into a penguin, but I think that you have the right to believe that, right? So I would say that none of us are good because we don't get to come up with a standard of good, right? I think that if somebody rapes someone, they're an evil person. But even if I didn't believe that, the Bible says it's not good to do that. It's not good to steal. It's not good to lie. It's not good to murder. It's not good to covet or strongly desire somebody else's goods. And if you've broken the law, then you deserve to be judged because God is the judge of the universe. So I believe that if somebody's not a Christian when they die, they're going to go to hell because they've broken God's law. Am I wrong in my viewpoint?
We don't have a right to tell you if you're wrong or right. That's not up to us. It's up to you.
Okay.
You feel good with that belief, then go for it. And if it makes you treat people with respect, then go for it.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to, like, does it affect me? If it doesn't, I don't care what you believe. And, like, people try to push their beliefs on other people's, rights to their body or whatever they do. That person needs to make their own decision. Like, other people's beliefs should not have power over your other people's freedom, right?
We shouldn't be able to harm other people.
Right.
Do you believe that it's a baby in the womb?
I believe that single cell is a single cell, right? It doesn't have a heartbeat potentially yet, so I don't know.
21 days it has a heartbeat.
Okay, then I don't know, but it doesn't think yet, right? So it's like when do you draw a line?
Yeah, I mean that's an interesting question, right? We begin to think, well, if we don't, isn't that interesting? Is it weird?
Well, as a woman standing here with all men, and you guys talking about my choice as a woman and my body, this is not a comfortable position for me to be
in. Isn't it? Yeah, I mean, I would have to say...
Explaining the most important thing that we, and very traumatic thing that we as women have to go through, and I don't feel comfortable.
Mansplaining? I was very tempted to say, what is mansplaining? And then the moment she begins to respond, I would say, why are you womansplaining? But that would not have been helpful to the conversation. I think a lot of people spend more time trying to figure out what sort of a latte they're going to order in the morning than they do their own world view, right? We need to have a cordial dialogue concerning really anything. If somebody's going to interject any sort of an opinion towards something, do they have to put themselves in that position, right? If I wanted to talk about homelessness, do I have to actually be homeless? Or if I want to have an opinion about war, say we need to stop the war, do I need to be a general in the war? Right? Is there ability to be able to have just a cordial conversation?
My body and my choices, specifically in my life, I wouldn't feel comfortable with four random men telling me what to do with that. We don't have a right to tell you if you're wrong or right. That's not up to us. It's up to you. It's all about respecting each other's opinions. Yeah.
And do you feel like we're telling you what to do with your body?
No. I'm just saying, like, it was just weird watching two men talk about abortion when I'm standing right here as a woman. So just, it's a touching subject for women to be listened to by men.
When a woman says, my body, my choice, think about the message that you're sending other men. Your body, your choice, your problem. And you're eliminating men from the equation, and you're trying to get fathers and husbands out of the conversation. Think about it for a moment. If a father doesn't take care of their child, they're called a deadbeat dad. But if a mother doesn't take care of the child, she's called pro-choice. And we herald her as a victor of feminism.
It's not a 9-month experience. It's not an 18-year experience. It's a full.
So you think a man should be able to have a say in any way, shape, or form about abortion?
Of course.
Okay. And where does the fall-off happen, right?
In the end, it's the woman's choice.
In the end, okay. I'm trying to tread lightly here, right, because I'm trying to be sensitive, right? Yeah. We live in a society that are saying that gender is fluid. That even though you may be born with one genitalia, if you feel whatever it is that you feel, that you can be a different, you can identify, I guess, right, with another gender.
It kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like, if your choices don't affect other people in a negative way, then go with it, believe it, do it, act it, like, great. But if you're going to put your choices and your decisions on somebody else, even somebody as far away from you as a different gender, and that's going to have a completely different experience and a different emotional scale completely, that crosses a boundary.
Okay.
An actual physical boundary. Like, this is my body. You can't get in here. So.
Okay. So then my final question concerning that, and we'll move on. I don't want to make you uncomfortable. My final question concerning that would be, is it your body or is it inside of your body, right? Is it a separate DNA? Is it possibly a different blood type, right? Because if it is your body, and like I said, I'm not going to belabor this, if you're pregnant with a male, well, then you're half male, half female, or if you're pregnant with two male babies, twins, right, then you're more male than female.
I'm not saying that I am the baby inside of me, because that doesn't...
But it's in your body. It's your position. That's it. And you should be able to do it.
Yeah.
That's it. If I were to concede the point and say that she can do whatever she wants with her body, well, we still have another problem, because we're not talking about her body. We're talking a body inside of her body, right? A cake does not become an oven because it's in the oven, right? You go hang out inside of a garage, it doesn't make you a car. We're talking about two separate human beings created in the image of God. I believe people should have the right to be able to swing their arms as much as they want. But the moment your fist or your elbow connects with someone, you break the law. It's called the law of non-aggression. Swing all you want, but don't touch someone. Do what you want with your body, but don't harm the baby inside of your body. If you guys have any questions concerning me and what the Christian worldview is.
No, I think we're all, as a human population, the Christian view has been very impressed on us in general, more than any other religion.
Yeah. And I would agree that that Christian worldview, though, also covers people that claim to be a Christian, kind of like somebody dresses up to be a football player and they're not a football player, when in reality, I think that we can agree to disagree and go get a cup of coffee or something.
But if I were to get an abortion, you would be like, no.
Well, it goes back to the idea, right? I mean, I could have an opinion. It goes back to the idea of, are you harming that? Your fundamental position was that we should not harm anybody. I would say the ultimate harm would be killing someone, right? If it's killing another human being.
Do you know that it's a human being? Did you talk to the embryo?
Right, so
did I talk to the embryo? Really? I mean, that's your argument? That's your question? Okay, no, I didn't talk to the embryo. But God talked to me through his word, the Bible. And he tells us in Psalm 139, so...
You know it 100%, and it's on documentation, and it's talked to you, and it's had a full conversation. I would like to know that, if you've known that.
So we do have that. That's just science. There's two sciences. It's the science of biogenesis and the science of embryology. The science of biogenesis says it's...
Well, you had asked. I feel very uncomfortable. Yeah, I would like...
Like I said, no problem. But you had asked the question, so I was just looking to...
I was just trying to point out to you that you don't really know. We're just here to be, and we're here to be happy, and I'm going to do what makes me feel best, and I'm never going to harm anybody else.
Unless it's a baby. Right?
It's not a baby. I'm not going
to... According to the science, it is.
Very, very often.
Well, I don't mean... I'm just saying, you... I can have a position.
Okay, this is what you do. So next time, before you start talking to people, especially women, if you're going to bring up the topic of abortion, if you're going to bring it up in general in any way possible, shape, or form, tell the people before you start interviewing them, like, the topics, the...
He brought it up.
No, just the topics of Christianity. You didn't necessarily say that you were going to start attacking women for getting abortion. I feel attacked.
Okay, I told you that it wasn't my intention to make you feel attacked, but...
She feels attacked? I wonder how the preborn baby feels in the womb when he or she is being dismembered.
If we're going to have a conversation...
Being surrounded by four men being filmed, asking me if I'm okay with killing a baby, it does feel a little bit attacked. You have to treat others how you would like to be treated.
I appreciate your time, though, but it really wasn't my intention to make you feel uncomfortable.
Holy
all right.
So, like, I'm not going to control somebody else's behavior in any way. I'm only going to control how I respond to it, and I'm not going to tell other people how they live their lives.
The number of times that they contradicted themselves in this conversation was mind-boggling, but it demonstrates that they are blinded, and but by the grace of God, there go you and I. Let's be patient when we're dealing and talking with people. As you saw, I attempted to reason with them. I tried to have a cordial dialogue. The Bible says to be at peace with all men as much as it is possible with you, and sometimes it's just not possible. So they walk away. 2 Timothy 2 says, "And a servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach and forbearing. He must gently reprove those who oppose him, in the hope that God may grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will.
Don't forget to subscribe and click on the notification bell and make sure you don't miss the Living Waters podcast. If you want to grow in your faith, we highly recommend the School of Biblical Evangelism textbook. This is the entire School of Biblical Evangelism in written form, filled to the brim with apologetics, scientific facts from the Bible, atheism, different religions, cults, everything you could ever want to know about evangelism. Over 700 pages, authored by myself, Kirk Cameron, and my good friend and gifted apologist, Mark Spence. Available at livingwaters.com.
All right. Very good information there. And as you notice, you can't have a so-called worldview where everybody does what, well, I have my own way, my own opinion, with, and thinking that you are your own God without sooner or later affecting somebody else and them affecting you. It's plain to see. It doesn't work. You have to have only one God, or it just won't work. Because obviously, you could see that. When these females get approached with the A word, they all of a sudden don't like it when you start saying it's a baby, rather than a tainted tissue or something like that. All right. So we are now going to let you know, if you don't know Christ, remember, it's very easy. The Bible tells us how to do it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You find that in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And who can do it? Well, the Bible also tells us. Verse 13 of the same chapter, chapter 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's everybody. So you are the whosoever. If you don't know Christ, let this day be your day. So we're going to play this song, Accept Christ Today, and then get in contact with us. Let us know that you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Amen.
Yo me quiero, Dios me ama y Cristo murió por mí. Yo le recibo y ya soy su hijo y es su plan para mí. Es su plan para mí. Es su plan para mí. Yo le recibo y ya soy su hijo y es su plan para mí. I have sinned, but God still loves me and die for me. I receive him, so now I'm his child, and that's his plan for me. That's his plan for me. That's his plan for me. Receive him, so now I'm a child, and that's his plan for me.
And that's his plan for you. Just receive him, and you'll become his child. So, dear listener, ask him into your heart today. Don't wait. Now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Lord Jesus, we ask you now, as we close this program, that you touch each and every heart, each and every life. Bring them to a saving knowledge of you, Lord Jesus. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you touch them, bring them close to you. For it's in Christ's name, Jesus, we ask all these blessings. Amen and amen.